It's Friday, December 19th. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day, the show that is going to spend the holiday season getting some remedial MAGA math tutoring after listening to Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick speak to host John Roberts on Fox News Thursday.
Well, if you cut something by 100%, the cost goes down to zero. If you cut it by 400%, 500%, or 600%, the drug companies are actually paying you to take their product. So it raises the question, how much of last night's speech was hyperbole and how much was fact?
Now, what he's saying is you bring it, if a drug was $100 and you bring the drug down to $13, right? If you're looking at it from $13, it's not down seven times.
It's not a 600%.
Well, but it's 700%. Higher price before, it's down 700% now, right? So a $13 would have to go up 700% to get back to the old one. So it all depends on when you look at it.
No, I don't think it does. On today's show, is inflation up? Is it down? Is it sideways? It's hard to know after the Labor Department releases a report based on incomplete data. And today is the day the long-awaited Epstein files are slated to drop. But let's start with marijuana. On Thursday, President Donald Trump signed an executive order in the Oval Office directing Attorney General Pam Bondi to reclassify marijuana. And he sounded kind of bored by the whole thing.
Today, I'm pleased to announce that I will be signing an executive order to reschedule marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 controlled substance with legitimate medical uses. We have people begging for me to do this, people that are in great pain.
What Trump has done is continue an effort begun by former President Joe Biden to change how the federal government views marijuana. Previously, under the U.S. Controlled Substances Act, marijuana had the same classification as LSD and peyote, drugs that the federal government argues have no accepted medical use and have a high potential for abuse. And because of its classification, scientists who wanted to investigate therapeutic uses for marijuana had to jump through significant hoops and couldn't get federal research dollars. Once marijuana is reclassified, that will change. However,
I want to emphasize that the order I am about to sign is not the legalization, or it doesn't legalize marijuana in any way, shape, or form, and in no way sanctions its use as a recreational drug.
Yes, if you're a recreational marijuana user, Trump did not, in fact, just legalize weed. Marijuana is still illegal under federal law, but rescheduling could change the financial hurdles around marijuana. So businesses that sell it could deduct standard expenses on their federal tax returns, for example. So to learn more about what Thursday's executive order actually means, I spoke with Jeremy Burke, editor-in-chief of Cultivated Media, an outlet covering the business, policy, and culture of cannabis. Jeremy, welcome to What A Day.
Thank you. I'm a fan of the show, so I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. So what are the main issues Trump is addressing in this executive order?
So Trump is addressing through this executive order cannabis reform. And I want to be very clear that this is not full federal legalization, but reclassification. And reclassification means moving cannabis from Schedule 1, the most restrictive classification on the Controlled Substances Act, to Schedule 3, which are drugs that pharmacists are able to prescribe to people. This is a long time coming. This was a campaign promise of Trump's, but the Biden administration back in 2022 initially directed federal agencies to do this. So we have a Democratic president and a Republican president pushing the same thing. So that's a big signal that change is coming for cannabis.
Now, I think many people might already know this, but currently cannabis is a Schedule 1 drug, which argues that it has no medical benefit. From the perspective of everyday people, if cannabis became a Schedule 3 drug, what changes?
So what this really does is harmonize federal law with where science and research shows that cannabis does have medical uses and can be effective. And so while it does seem like a very incremental, nuanced reform, it does bring it into line with what scientists are saying. There's plenty of research out there that shows specific compounds in cannabis have therapeutic effects, whether that's for sleep, whether that's for relaxation, anxiety, or pain relief, et cetera. There are a multitude of uses, and Schedule 3 will basically be the federal government saying, hey, look, we recognize this, right? It's okay, and now we can study it further. for the everyday person, right? Again, I want to clarify that this is not federal legalization. So it is not like when Trump signs this order, cannabis is going to be everywhere in all 50 states. However, for those who consume cannabis, those who buy cannabis in legal states, it will open up the broader financial system to cannabis companies. And so consumers may very well be able to use their credit cards for cannabis purchases. Medical cannabis consumers or patients will be able to be more easily prescribed cannabis without jumping through multiple hoops. And so there are certain effects that the everyday person will see, but the broadest effect from this move is really on the industry, the cannabis cultivators and sellers, brands and dispensaries that sell this to people. For them, it is a transformative policy change.
Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden tweeted this month that Trump is trying to, quote, gaslight everyone into believing he just made pot legal. Are there measures Trump isn't taking that advocates of legalization and decriminalization, which are two different things, but work with me here, are pushing for?
There absolutely are. And a lot of the advocates I speak to and those in that world are actually against this move for very specific reasons. They say that this is too incremental and that it gives cover for both the Republican Party and the broader federal government to say, look, enough is enough. We moved it to Schedule 3. We're not going to go for full legalization. And so that is one particular issue that a lot of advocates are wary of. And my view is the right to be wary of that. It's very much possible that Trump signs this executive order and then thus washes his hands of the issue. The second piece is that rescheduling does very little to nothing, I would say, for social equity concerns, social justice concerns, for getting people out of state and federal prison who have cannabis convictions. There is nothing in the executive order that I've heard that will deal with things like record expungements. There is nothing in the executive order that will support creating a diverse and equitable cannabis industry itself, which is a goal that many Democrats had for a long time. And so, look, while I think on balance, this is a good move, I think Trump should do this. There's a lot further that he could go. And ultimately, those in the cannabis world, both in the industry and the advocacy world and consumers, should continue advocating for full federal legalization. That ultimately is the right thing to do. Canada has done it and it's created jobs, tax revenue, new opportunities for people, and the sky really hasn't fallen in a way that many prohibitionists say it would have.
Over 60% of Americans say that recreational marijuana should be legal, and I think the number of people who have used recreational and medical marijuana is at an all-time high. How much do you think the popularity of legalizing cannabis factors into Trump's decision here?
It absolutely factors into Trump's decision in profound ways. I think, look, Trump, for all his warts and all the warts in the White House, they're very well aware of his day-to-day approval rating, and it's very much underwater in significant ways on immigration, on the economy, on the very things he ran on. Cannabis reform is very popular. It's a popular bipartisan issue. We have seen a notable drop in Republican support, but still, it is 64%, according to the latest polls, 64% of Americans that want to see cannabis legalized. You know, it's hard to find 64% of Americans agree on anything else. And so, look, I think Trump knows, his team knows that there's a bad midterms coming for them. The elections in November showed that, and this is a popular thing he can do. That being said, this isn't going to magically rescue his underwater approval ratings at the moment.
You mentioned that there was a drop in polling from Republicans and how they view recreational marijuana legalization. How much pushback do you think Trump would get from social conservatives over this executive order? Because I'm sure you've seen that there's been a lot more like, marijuana is way stronger and people are developing psychosis and it smells bad. It's all gone too far.
Yeah, I'm laughing because it's the absolute bane of my existence. It feels like every single day I could write media criticism. And, a lot of the prohibitionist arguments, and I want to be, a little bit careful here and choose my words carefully, but they're statistically illiterate, right? And so, look, I the sky will absolutely not fall with rescheduling. But I do think that the right-wing media sphere and the right-wing ecosystem has been pushing this, and it's landing on a lot of ears. And so it really is undermining support in profound ways among Republicans. And to answer that question specifically, Mike Johnson, the reporting has shown in the Washington Post and other outlets, Mike Johnson and his wing of the party is vehemently against this. The Washington Post reported that there was an Oval Office meeting where Mike Johnson was arguing his case that this would be bad, right? And so I think the overall picture here is that the Republican Party is really split into two. It's MAGA on one side, and it's, you know, the socially conservative evangelical wing on the other side. And I think Trump looks at this issue and he wants to split the difference between the two wings and say, look, I'm not going as far as legalization. This will make the Mike Johnson wing happy, right? But I will do something that 64% of Americans support, and that is pursue cannabis reform. I imagine that there will be a lot of consternation among congressional Republicans about this. I'm already hearing it from sources. And so it'll be interesting to see whether they actually mount a fight or they do fall in line with the president.
Jeremy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. That was fun.
That was my conversation with Jeremy Burke, editor-in-chief of Cultivated Media, an outlet covering the business, policy, and culture of cannabis. We'll get to more of the news in a moment, but if you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads. What Today is brought to you by the International Rescue Committee. I know the headlines can feel like so much. There's so much happening, and it can make us feel a little bit hopeless. Like, what can we do to make a difference? How can we help? Well, for people living in places like Gaza and Sudan, you can make a difference with a gift to the International Rescue Committee. Albert Einstein helped to found the organization that became the International Rescue Committee. Ingenuity, fortitude, and optimism remain at the heart of the work. And that work is so important right now. From Ukraine to Afghanistan, more people are displaced from their homes than ever before and are in need of emergency assistance this winter. The frigid cold of winter is difficult for anyone, but for children and families in crisis zones, it can be unbearable. Without adequate shelter, heating, or cold weather gear, they are fully exposed to the elements. The cold is constant for families living in tents, makeshift shelters, or half-destroyed buildings without any heating source. With only a thin layer of material separating them from the harsh winter, children and families living in tents are especially vulnerable. You can donate today by visiting rescue.org/rebuild.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicollet Avenue, which is where Alex Preddy was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now.
Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
So we're working to deal with the healthcare crisis that's in front of us, because we still have unfinished business since Mike Johnson decided to adjourn the House of Representatives today and cancel votes tomorrow. Because Republican leaders want no part of actually keeping healthcare affordable for working class Americans, middle class Americans, and hardworking American taxpayers.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries criticized Speaker Mike Johnson for sending representatives home early on Thursday, despite the push to expedite yet another vote to extend the enhanced Affordable Care Act subsidies expiring at the end of the year. If you've been following the shit show in Congress as both Democrats and Republicans struggle to make healthcare more affordable, you probably know that House Speaker Mike Johnson rushed to cover his ass last week with a last-minute proposal that would not extend the expiring subsidies. This is, of course, after months and months of doing absolutely nothing to solve the problem. The bill is called the Lower Healthcare Premiums for All Americans Act, but like everything in politics, it's not exactly that simple. And when a group of moderate Republicans weren't happy with what the bill was offering, four of them broke ranks to support Democrats and force a vote to extend the enhanced ACA subsidies. Regardless, the bill passed in the House Wednesday night. The vote on extending the ACA subsidies will still happen next year, but not before millions of Americans get charged with higher health insurance premiums on January 1st. The Labor Department released data on Thursday showing that inflation was down slightly in November, but economists say these numbers don't tell the whole story. In reality, the government shutdown made it so that inflation numbers from October couldn't be compiled. And because the latest figures were only collected following the government reopening on November 12th, lower prices from Black Friday sales at the end of the month could have also skewed the data. No matter which way you look at it, prices were up last month compared to a year ago. But of course, you won't hear President Trump admit any of that. In fact, on Wednesday night, you might have witnessed him yelling into the void during a televised address filled with misinformation about the state of the economy.
Much of this success has been accomplished by tariffs, my favorite word, tariffs, which for many decades have been used successfully by other countries against us, but not anymore.
Actually, economists say that Trump's favorite word is partially responsible for current inflation. And in 2026, prices are expected to keep rising because of these tariffs. Although Fed chair and Trump punching bag Jerome Powell predicts that inflation from tariffs will start to fall after the first quarter of the new year. For the sake of all of our wallets, let's hope he's right. The war between Russia and Ukraine is nearing its fourth year. Despite Trump's efforts to end the conflict, a peace deal remains elusive. Here's the latest. U.S. and Russian officials are reportedly expected to hold talks in Miami this weekend. A Trump delegation sat down with Ukrainian and European counterparts in Berlin earlier this week, where the U.S. offered NATO-like protections if Ukraine accepts a deal quickly. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said Thursday that the results of the Berlin meeting would be discussed in Miami. Trump insists Russia might settle for the security guarantees and Ukraine joining the EU. But on Wednesday, Russian President Vladimir Putin again made clear he isn't backing off his goal of erasing Ukraine's sovereignty. Meanwhile, European Union leaders met in Brussels Thursday to vote on whether to tap nearly $200 billion in frozen Russian assets to fund support for Ukraine over the next 2 years. Seizing the frozen Russian assets would almost certainly end up in court. And Trump is totally against it, insisting the cash should be unlocked as part of his pro-Russia peace blueprint. Today is the deadline for the Department of Justice to release all of the unclassified documents and investigative materials related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. 1 month ago, President Trump signed the Epstein Files Transparency Act into law, starting the 30-day countdown for the DOJ to make the files not just publicly available, but searchable and downloadable. And since then, we really haven't heard much about how or when the government planned to do it. But while we've all been waiting for the DOJ to turn in its homework, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee have been keeping up the pressure by releasing batches of photographs from Epstein's estate. The most recent collection came out Thursday, including more photos of the powerful men Epstein crossed paths with, redacted passports of women primarily from Eastern Europe, and a photo of one woman's foot with a handwritten line from Lolita that begins at her ankle. Of course it is. Of course it's Lolita. In the middle of all of this, Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's former girlfriend and collaborator, has been trying to get out of her 20-year prison sentence for luring his victims into their abuse. She asked a federal judge to release her on Wednesday, claiming that constitutional violations during her trial led to a, quote, complete miscarriage of justice. I guess it depends on what your idea of justice is. And that's the news. One more thing. It's been a very long year for everyone. Trump was inaugurated in January, And corporate America immediately bent the knee, as did the nation's largest law firms and a bunch of major universities. The Trump administration then launched a campaign of terror against immigrants and political opponents, putting pro-Palestinian campus protesters in detention facilities and letting immigration and customs enforcement run rampant nationwide. And it hasn't really stopped. The Trump administration seems set to light everything we love about this country on fire and dance in the ashes, believing firmly that a roughly 1.5% win in the popular vote meant that everyone was down for full-on fascism. His loudest supporters were the cool kids who said, "based," and wanted to go work for Elon Musk and Doge and destroy USAID because someone on the internet told them it was evil. It has all fucking sucked. My mom died in April. Let me be clear. 2025 was not a great time for anyone at all. But there were, and still are, signs of hope. Elections in Miami and New York City, Virginia and New Jersey tell me that actually the polls are right. Most people are not into this. Because stunning news. Most Americans aren't excited about a president who spends more time on ballrooms and True Social posts than affordable healthcare. And I have gotten so much hope from you, our listeners and viewers. You tune in every day and listen to our show. You comment on YouTube and you send emails, and many of you said hello at CrookedCon. I've heard from you that I offer you some solace and a sense of normalcy at a time when everything feels insane. But I could say the same thing about you. The folks who are still in this, who still care, who are still in the fight, even if it's exhausting and frustrating and you're really, really, really tired of these people. Which people? Take your pick. So on behalf of everyone here at What a Day, thank you for watching, listening, commenting, posting, and sharing. We will be back in 2026. Have a safe and happy holiday season. And remember, sure is a full sentence. Before we go, not sure what to get your friends or family this year? Skip the socks. Give them a Friends of the Pod subscription instead. They will get the good stuff, ad-free episodes of all of their favorite Crooked shows, exclusive content like Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster, and bragging rights for supporting independent progressive media. It is the gift that keeps on giving and keeps them in the loop without losing their sanity. Grab one for a friend or yourself at crooked.com/friends. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review. It's still the Kennedy Center. And tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about how, yes, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt announced Thursday that the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts had been renamed the Donald J. Trump and the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts. But that's actually up to Congress to decide, so like, no? Like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and the Gulf of Mexico, the Secretary of Defense, and the Kennedy Center. Still their names. What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producers are Emily Four and Chris Allport. Our video editor is Joseph Dutra. Our video producer is Johanna Case. We had production help today from Greg Walters, Matt Berg, Caitlin Plummer, Tyler Hill, and Ethan Oberman. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our senior vice president of news and politics is Adrian Hill. We had help today from the Associated Press. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero hand-holding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.